Good evening. I'm Sam Friedman with a KUAC News Minor Update. A fire on Monday night injured one person and razed two mobile homes in the North Pole area. According to Alaska State Troopers, the North Star Volunteer Fire Department responded at 7:26 to a fire on Memory Avenue near the intersection of Holmes Road and Badger Road. Troopers determined the fire started in a fire pit inside a mobile home. The fire then spread to a nearby couch, and the entire home became engulfed. A 26-year-old person inside the residence tried unsuccessfully to put out the fire and escaped with burns. The fire spread to a neighboring trailer, where bystanders helped evacuate an older woman, preventing her from sustaining any injuries. The Fairbanks City Council has shifted the order of public comment at its meetings. The panel approved an ordinance last night that regulates citizens' comments on items not up for public hearing farther back in the agenda. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the move upset residents who often show up at council meetings to speak their minds.
When Mayor Jim Matherly opened up a public hearing on the ordinance to change the order of business so that so-called citizens' comments would be heard later during meetings, two of the most vocal commenters objected.
In my opinion, I think it's just a move, Mayor, to stifle free speech.
Frank Turney attends just about every city council meeting and almost always offers comments about items on the agenda or other issues that he thinks council members need to think about. Turney says many members of the public won't stick around long enough to offer comments if they can't do so early in the meeting, and he says they won't be there to hear other citizens' comments.
Seeing to me, see, you'd rather maybe not let the public hear what we got to say at the beginning and wait until they leave.
That's true, says Victor Buberge, another gadfly and regular contributor to citizens' comments, and he pointed out that most of those who'd come to Monday's meeting to speak had already left.
Maybe you councilman can wake up and take a look out here in your audience and see that the majority of the people that came here to make their comments, they're gone.
Buberge suggested council members should impose the same sort of limits on when they can talk and for how long as they do for members of the public.
Sometimes I hear some of you council members up here just blabbering on and on and on and not saying nothing. So maybe you can cut your end of it. Cut it down.
Jerry Cleworth said council members had struggled to determine how to balance the public's right to comment against the need to conduct city business. He says he sympathizes with people who want to speak during meetings, which can often run late into the evening.
For those who do come for public testimony on an ordinance, it is pretty brutal for them to sometimes hang here until 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night.
Matherly says that's why the ordinance is needed, because no matter what, some of the people who come to council meetings to speak will have to wait, and he says the city should give higher priority to those who come to speak about an ordinance the council is considering above those who just want to offer a citizen's comment.
The work of the council really are the ordinances and those items that we're looking at. But we've all been here when we've had a half a dozen or more ordinances, and oftentimes those folks have to wait till 9, 9:30 or 10 o'clock for the work of the city.
Councilman Jonathan Bagwell, who along with Matherly introduced the measure, says it's intended to preserve the rights of citizens to offer comments, but also to allow those who come to speak during public hearings on ordinances a chance to speak first.
When we have someone who needs to be here because their testimony has been asked of them for city business or for community business, we need to honor that as well.
In the end, the council approved the ordinance 5-1 with Cleworth dissenting. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
A controversial statewide ballot initiative intended to protect salmon habitat has cleared a major hurdle, setting up what could be an intense political fight. The Alaska Energy Desk reports that a judge in Anchorage yesterday ruled that Lieutenant Governor Byron Malott was wrong to deny the initiative, organized by the nonprofit Stand for Salmon. Malott rejected the ballot measure last month, arguing it would tie the state's hands and prioritize salmon habitat over other potential uses of state land, like mining or oil development. The state says if it's enacted, the measure could complicate efforts to build projects ranging from pipelines to the proposed Pebble Mine. The initiative also drew opposition from a wide range of industry groups. At a hearing last week, the attorney defending the ballot initiative argued it isn't aimed at prohibiting development, though it would add to the permitting process. Judge Mark Redner agreed. He wrote that it's, quote, pure speculation, unquote, to predict the effect of the initiative. Mike Wood, one of the ballot measure organizers, applauded the decision.
Set politics aside and read it for what it is, and I think he did that.
Wood, a commercial fisherman, was involved in opposition to the Susitna Dam. Marliana Hall is executive director of the Resource Development Council, one of the groups opposed to the ballot initiative. Hall says she's disappointed, and her group is asking the state to appeal.
Unfortunately, this initiative, as it is, poses a grave threat to community and resource development.
Stand for Salmon can now begin collecting signatures. It aims to get the initiative on the ballot in 2018. Lawyers with the state say they're evaluating whether to appeal the decision to the Alaska Supreme Court. For more on these stories and others, go to newsminer.com or kuac.org. I'm Sam Friedman.